This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. When a country goes to war, it does its best to protect its king at all costs. However, one king in history willingly placed himself on the front lines for his followers. In today's message, we will learn why he chose to face his enemies, knowing the result would be certain death.
Some days people find themselves wondering, am I loved or do I matter? Stay with us for an answer to those questions. We begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we approach your throne of grace today with confidence as little children approach a loving Father, all because of what Jesus did for us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, and we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from Mark chapter 11, verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends our reading. Dear friends, am I loved? Do I really matter? There are so many people in this world that are wondering those kinds of questions. You have to ask, what causes that kind of thinking? I suppose sometimes it could be because something bad has happened in a person's life and I think that maybe God is upset with them. And am I loved? Does God really love me? Why is he letting this happen? Or maybe it's a sense of feeling alone and isolated. You're in a hospital room or a nursing home or a rehab center and no one's visiting and you come to wonder, do I really matter? Maybe you've been quite unlovable in life and you think you're beyond being loved by anyone. Or perhaps you weren't shown a lot of love along life's way as you were growing up. Maybe you were an outcast. It's a whole host of reasons for that kind of wondering to happen. Am I loved? Do I matter? We're going to take a close look at a story today that I think speaks loudly to that kind of thinking. We see Jesus in our passage, which I read for you, approaching and then entering the city of Jerusalem. Now, we have to keep in mind that Jerusalem represented enemy territory for Jesus. It was the religious establishment's headquarters. They had been sending spies up to spy on him, watch him, and argue with him up in Galilee. They didn't particularly like him and what he had to say. In fact, there are a couple points in Mark's gospel where it says they wanted to destroy him. And now here he is approaching enemy headquarters. And the opposition is poised like a rattlesnake ready to strike out at him. Even the disciples, as slow as they could be in their thinking sometimes, understood the danger. It says they were afraid. In chapter 10, it says they were on the road going to Jerusalem and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And those who followed were afraid. There could very well have been a sign posted at the entrance of Jerusalem for Jesus saying, "Enter at your own risk." For this was a dangerous place for him. But he went. And not only that, he throws caution to the wind and of all things stages a parade. He comes riding into town on a donkey, which caused a major uproar. People started hailing him as a king, waving palm branches and throwing cloaks down on the ground in front of him. Why would they do that? Because they saw that Jesus was making a statement. Zechariah the prophet in the 9th chapter talked about a king who would come riding into town on a donkey. And Jesus seemed to be now throwing down the gauntlet in front of his opposition and making a prophetic sort of statement to them. He's claiming kingship that would not only get the religious establishment upset, but also the political leaders more than a little upset. It would be seen as challenging the powers that be with this grandstanding entrance. But in he went. It's interesting that this king who proclaimed the kingdom of God is at hand would actually do that. For down through history, kingdoms do anything they can to protect their king. I'm reminded of the story of Winston Churchill on June 6, 1944, D-Day. The prime minister desperately wanted to join the expeditionary forces and watch the invasion from the bridge of a battleship in the English Channel. U.S. General Dwight David Eisenhower was desperate to stop him for fear that the prime minister might be killed in battle. When it became apparent that Churchill would not be dissuaded, Eisenhower appealed to a higher authority, King George VI. The king went and told Churchill that if this was the prime minister's duty to witness the invasion, he could only conclude that it was also his own duty as king to join him on the battleship. And at this point, Churchill reluctantly agreed to back down, for he knew that he could never expose the King of England to such danger. Our king, King Jesus, did exactly the opposite. With royal courage, he surrendered himself up to ultimately be crucified on a cross as he entered Jerusalem that day. Jesus went. Such courage. Mark said that when the parade was over, Jesus entered the temple and looked around and then left and went back to Bethany on the outskirts of town to spend the evening. But the next day, he really made his presence felt. You've probably heard the story of the temple cleansing. He went into the temple, which was basically the central part of Israel's religious faith, where all of the sacrifices were being made, and everybody looked at the temple as kind of central to the city of Jerusalem. This was like holy ground where the presence of God was and so on. And Jesus went into that temple and he saw that they were selling animals for sacrifice, doing money exchanges there in the temple courts where the Gentiles were supposed to have the privilege of having prayer. And they had turned it into a marketplace. And Jesus just went kind of ballistic on them and started to drive the money changers and the farmers out of the temple. And he calls the whole business a haven of bandits that were there simply to make a buck off of people. He said, "This is to be a place of prayer." I'm sure he roared that one out loud. Well, he got their attention. He really stepped on some sacred turf there. And now they plotted how they might kill him. Well, his time in Jerusalem will end with a cross where they will kill him. Why did Jesus do this? Why did the Son of God, as Mark introduced him to us in the opening statement of his gospel, make that ride into Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen. Why would he cause that ruckus in the temple, which would just upset them all the more and move them towards destroying him? It's simple. It was love. In these stories that Mark saved for you and me, we see courageous love in action. You see, ultimately, Peter, one of the disciples later on, would tell people on Pentecost that Jesus did all this. All this stuff happened according to the plan of God, the plan to rescue us from sin. This was no accident, no miscalculation on the part of Jesus. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was provoking them, forcing their hand, while at the same time trying to issue a wake-up call for them to repent. And what was the motivation? It was love. Not only love for his heavenly Father, but love for you and love for me. Jesus told the disciples not long before he went into Jerusalem, "Greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, and I have called you my friends." Jesus told those disciples he was going to Jerusalem to give his life as a ransom for many. His crucifixion on the cross would pay a ransom. A ransom is a payment. A payment was necessary. A payment for what? Well, a payment for sin, the greatest problem of humankind. He came to make payment for our sin, to rescue you and me from sin and its consequences, which is death, which keeps us separated from our loving but holy God. Jesus entered the jaws of death, Jerusalem, caused a ruckus in that holy temple, and forced their hand in order to die for all the wrong things that we have ever done and would ever do. He was completely atoning for our sins when he went to that cross. He entered Jerusalem at his own risk, so that we may confidently enter the sanctuary of God's presence by the blood of Jesus. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. I'm reminded of a story that I had heard quite some time ago. It goes as follows. It had been a wonderful afternoon for the family, living in the wilderness way up north. They had taken the horse and sleigh out into the woods to cut a pine tree down, which would serve as their Christmas tree in their log cabin. The sun was sinking low as they made their way back home. Mother and father in the front of the sleigh and the three young children in the back snuggled underneath a warm handmade quilt, talking amongst themselves. They were only 2 miles from home in a clearing when the husband nudged his wife and pointed her towards the tree line. They were being followed. There was a large pack of wolves. It had been a rough winter. They were obviously hungry. The man snapped the reins to get the horses moving along faster. Mother's pulse quickened. Suddenly the pack appeared out in the open, running towards the sleigh. The children screamed as the wolves growled, barked as they followed. The children turned and seeing them just were so afraid. The pack, being faster and unencumbered by a sleigh full of people, soon caught up with the horse, began to nip at the horse's feet and try to slow it down or stop it altogether. The father yelled and tried to scare them off, but there was no scaring them off. So he pulled out his rifle and he fired into the pack, unloading all the bullets that he had in his gun. A couple of the wolves dropped to the ground, but there were so many. And while it stopped them for a moment, they began to chase them again, still attacking. It was absolute chaos in that sleigh. As the pack closed in on the family, the horse was slowed down again. It looked like they were going to possibly die. when suddenly the father handed the reins to the mother and said, "Go!" And he jumped into the midst of those attacking animals. Surrounded by them, he fought with them and screamed at his wife, "Go!" as she looked on in horror. The pack was concentrating on their prey, standing alone in that snow. They were circling around him, and suddenly they all attacked, jumping on him, jumping at him, and he was engulfed by the pack. The horse and the sleigh took off towards a cabin a short distance away, as fast as they could go. The children were wailing and crying and sobbing. His mother drove the sleigh in toward the cabin. She had tears running down her own face. She got there as quickly as she could to get her children to safety. The howling and growling behind them stopped, and they knew he was gone. And as they approached the cabin, and the children were sobbing quietly now, as they got into the cabin, Mother took them in her arms to comfort them. As they went through the front door, she sat down with them, and she quietly whispered, "My, didn't he love us? Didn't he love us?" We can say the same thing, can't we? Knowing the story of Jesus entering Jerusalem. If you're sitting with someone right now, listening to this broadcast, I encourage you to stop and say to that person sitting next to you, "Didn't he love us?" And if you're alone today listening, I invite you to just simply say out loud, "Didn't he love me, this Jesus? I mean, look what he did for you. If you were the only person who ever existed, he made that last ride into Jerusalem for your sake, so that you might become his own and live with him for eternity." For some of you listening today, Jesus is standing poised to enter your life. He hasn't been in there yet. In the book of Revelation, there's a passage that says, and it's from Jesus, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens it, I'll come into you and eat with you and you with me." He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Invite him in. Let him love you up for the rest of your life. And for the rest of you who might be listening today, listen, I don't know what you may be going through in your life. I know life has its ups and its downs and causes us to wonder sometimes, but I do know this. You are loved. You are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and I appeal to you to claim it and trust in it and build your very life upon that love. Who's that coming into Jerusalem? It's Jesus, ready to face off with the opposition. Why is he doing that? Love. My, didn't he love us? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you entered enemy territory to lay down your life for us. Forgive us when we doubt your love or forget the lengths to which you went to make us your own. Help us to live confidently and joyfully in the depths of that great love. In your precious name we ask this. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has reminded you of how the great love Jesus has for you. Claim that love, trust in it, and build your very life upon it. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the gifts from our listeners. Now, if today's message has been of spiritual comfort to you, we ask that you remember this ministry with your gifts and your prayers. All contributions to this ministry are tax deductible. So please address your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can find today's program and many of our past programs on the internet. Please be sure to visit our website at www.christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. You can send your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can also call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us this morning, and we pray that you'll be able to be with us next Sunday on this station. Conducting a service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.